Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 8, 2016. I am Jason Powell. It is Election Day. On the site today, live updates from the WWE SmackDown television taping in Glasgow, Scotland. Will Pruitt's pause review of Raw is already available, and he thought it was one of the worst shows he's ever seen. My WWE Raw hit list also available, and I'll be reading that to you coming up here later on in this podcast. And we should have the viewership and ratings information available for last night's WWE Raw. You can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown Live as the show airs on USA Network. It's not exactly live, but it is airing on USA Network tonight. And coming up after the break for non-members, we're going to be discussing WWE's upcoming State of WWE address and some big news coming out of the SmackDown taping. I mentioned that WWE is advertising a State of the WWE Universe address. This is going to be a network special that is going to air on Monday night after Raw. Yes, 3 hours of Raw. Just not quite enough time for WWE to do all of their business. And so they're going to have Raw authority figures Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley debating with SmackDown authority figures Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. This sounds horrible. I'm sorry, but first off, the timing of this is so wrong. I mean, I realize it's go-home week for Survivor Series, and that's why they're doing it. But we've been besieged by political ads, most of them attack ads, all the nonsense associated with the election season. I don't know about you guys, the last thing I want to put up with is a WWE mock debate nearly a week after the election. I'm guessing that Mick Foley and Daniel Bryan are going to take this seriously enough to that they're going to work hard and try to make this seem at least passable. I mean, they're two entertaining guys, and they do seem to care. But I really just don't know what purpose this serves aside from WWE having something to push for the network that's going to air after Raw on the go-home show for Survivor Series. Steve Austin tied up. Is there a reason he can't just do a Stone Cold podcast or something? I don't know that this is going to be driving too many network subscriptions, new memberships for WWE Network, but we'll check that out on Monday night. All right, we're going to get into some spoiler info from the SmackDown taping. I am not going to get into match results. So if you're worried about that, I think most of this news is going to come out. WWE, as I update this is still fairly new news. A lot of times they will go ahead and put the news out there themselves. They haven't done that in this case. So if you're just looking to avoid all spoilers on SmackDown, then skip ahead a little bit or come back and listen to the rest of this podcast later. But again, non-match result spoilers that I'm about to give you for tonight's SmackDown. You've been warned. We're going to start with this. It was announced at the SmackDown taping in Glasgow. Big thanks to .NET reader Paul Jacques for sending in the updates from both Scotland events, Raw and SmackDown. But the announcement was at the of the WWE Cruiserweight Championship match at Survivor Series. And hold on, I know you're like, that's it? Well, it's going to be Brian Kendrick defending the championship against Kalisto. The hook for this is that if Kalisto wins the WWE Cruiserweight Championship, the Cruiserweight division, all of it, will move to SmackDown. And it's likely to happen, I would think. It's an interesting hook either way. The reason I think it's so likely is that you have 205 Live. That is going to end up being broadcast live right after SmackDown on Tuesday night starting later this month. What is it? November 29th, I believe. So they're going to be airing the Cruiserweight show live right after SmackDown from the same venue. And yeah, you could have some of the Cruiserweights still go to Raw. And I know they're billing it as that Raw is still the exclusive home of the Cruiserweight division. But that can obviously change. And the decision may have been made rather than have the Cruiserweights travel from Raw to SmackDown each week. Let's just get them all under one roof. And you can do something on the SmackDown show to drive people to the Cruiserweight show right after if you have the Cruiserweights there. So I think from a logistical standpoint, it makes some sense to move the Cruiserweights to Tuesdays. And even if that's not what they have in mind, if they just plan on leaving things as they are, I still think it's a nice hook because it is a plausible scenario. So I think it's an interesting one. I lean toward the Cruiserweights moving to Tuesday nights on the SmackDown show, where I think they should have been all along, just not because of the 205 Live show as much as SmackDown just lacks depth, and I think they would do a better job with them. Mauro Ranallo calling their matches. Now, we do have to worry about JBL calling their matches, but that's another problem for another day. But I think that's a pretty interesting stipulation that they've given that, that obviously affects the entire cruiserweight division. Now, I know you can sit here and say, well, Raw may have more depth, but it's not exactly a great show. Are they going to miss the cruiserweights? They're not doing anything with the cruiserweights. They're not doing a good job with them. Brian Kendrick, and that's about it. You know, Noam Dar had a nice showing last night that we'll get to. But beyond that, I mean, they're just kind of spinning their wheels. And, yeah, I mean, it's a match or two that they're going to have to fill that time with something else. They're giving us so much talking anyway that I just don't think it affects Raw that much. The other spoiler coming out of the SmackDown taping is that there has been a change in the Men's Survivor Series match. I don't have the name of the replacement yet, but there's an injury angle at the SmackDown taping involving Baron Corbin and the announcement made that he is no longer going to be on Team SmackDown. We'll see. I mean, the taping is still taking place as I record this, so there still could be some developments that occur. And if I do get any official word on that before the end of this taping, this recording of the podcast, and I will be sure to pass that along. But Baron Corbin off of the Team Survivor Series, and you know what? Dear Lord, I just found out Shane McMahon has been announced as the fifth member of Team SmackDown. Wow. Yes, Shane McMahon getting back in the ring at Survivor Series. Hey, it gives it a hook. I don't know that it means a lot. I know Will Pruitt is going to be like jumping up and down over this. .NET staffer Will Pruitt is going to be thrilled with this development. So there you have it. I did confirm with Paul that indeed Shane McMahon will be the replacement. Daniel Bryan asked him if he would be the fifth member, and Shane said yes. So Shane McMahon joining Team SmackDown at Survivor Series. And whether you love Shane as a wrestler or you hate Shane as a wrestler, I do think he gives the Survivor Series a dose of star power. May not mean as much as it did when Shane first returned to WWE, but it means more than Baron Corbin being on that team, and that's coming from someone who likes Baron Corbin. And if you also like Baron Corbin, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this helps protect him in that there's no, you know, who knows what they would have done if Baron Corbin had been in the match. They could have had him lose. They could have had him lose by DQ. Hell, they could have had him win. But at least now, Baron Corbin off the team, we don't have to wonder what WWE would have ended up doing with Baron Corbin, because Shane McMahon is taking his place at the Survivor Series. I'll have some bonus thoughts on Raw coming up after the WWE Raw hit list, but I do want to tell you that .NET members are listening to my full review of WWE Raw from last night, plus 50 minutes of Q&A audio. I answer their pro wrestling questions to start and then have some fun with the members' non-wrestling questions on the back end of that weekly audio show that goes up on Mondays. You can join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net by signing up for membership via the sign-up area on our main page. Just get into that sign-up area. Three different pricing options available. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can bring that price down by taking advantage of either the six-month or annual option. That annual option brings the price down to an average of $5.50 per month. And this is, I've had some questions about this from new members recently. Yes, you can get all of our audio on places like Downcast and Beyond Pod, Dog Catcher app, things like that. So if you're used to using a second-party app for audio content, as I do with Downcast, I think it works great. We are certainly available in that format. Once you sign up, you find out the member's RSS feed, and you simply enter your username and password, and it works like a charm. So if that's been holding you back for any reason whatsoever, don't let it. It's quite handy. Like I say, I use it myself via Downcast for all of our audio content as well. Membership rates, again, available on the main page inside the sign-up area at ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's get into the hit list for last night's WWE Raw show as it appears on the main page. Coming up after this, I will have those bonus thoughts on Raw. Let's start with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg in the video packages. Nearly lost in the three-hour mess that was Monday's Raw were two excellent video packages for the Survivor Series main event. The Goldberg piece was really good, but the Lesnar and Paul Heyman video was off the chart strong. Lesnar is brilliant in the sit-down setting. His overly confident approach was great, and it was refreshing to hear him mock the idea of Goldberg beating him after taking a 12-year hiatus. There are too many wrestlers who return after a prolonged break, and WWE simply treats us as if they're as strong as ever. Lesnar's line brought a sports-like feel to the feud that is missing from most WWE storylines these days. Brock was so confident that it left me wondering whether the plan is to have Goldberg get the better of him on Raw next week if things get physical. I wouldn't have them touch until Survivor Series, but I am looking forward to seeing what they have in mind for the two of them on the go-home show. The next hit is Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman, the five-way main event. The idea of Stephanie McMahon having the Team Raw members get their frustrations out by working a no-DQ match against one another is utterly ridiculous. Yes, go ahead and beat each other with kendo sticks and any other weapons you can find less than 2 weeks before you'll team together. Anyway, the match was entertaining and the finish was especially good, with Owens getting the fluke win by falling onto Jericho and pinning him. The key was Owens celebrating this big win, as it will be interesting to see how Jericho reacts to this development next week. The next hit is Sami Zayn against Rusev, a minor hit for a match that should have felt more important. It's a shame that WWE is booking on the fly and didn't take their time setting up this match. It was fine for what it was, as it sets up what should be a quality match involving Zayn and Dolph Ziggler at Survivor Series. It does make Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan look like dopes for running the risk of losing their secondary championship while getting nothing in return from Raw. Quick addition. Will it be framed that this cruiserweight scenario that we discussed? I won't go into more details here, just in case you were trying to avoid the spoilers, but is it possible that that's the answer, that they'll explain that that's what they're getting in return? So maybe nobody looks like dopes. We'll see. Anyway, back to the hit list. How about Sami Zayn wins this match, then it's revealed that Stephanie didn't read the contract closely and Zayn goes to SmackDown because he won their championship? Sure, Stephanie will look bad in that scenario, but Lord knows she should show more ass than she does as a heel. The final hit is Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar facing Rich Swann and Sin Cara. And it's also a minor hit for the introduction of Dar, as well as Swann getting another win over Kendrick. I can't give this a full hit simply because the approach they took by teaming Dar with Kendrick put Swann and Sin Cara in a rough spot. Dar was the babyface to the Scottish crowd. The post-match angle with him getting the better of Kendrick was solid, but putting them on the same team made for an awkward dynamic during the match. Now we are into the WWE Raw Misses section, and we will start this long list with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, the follow-up. Last week's Raw closed with the crowd going nuts for Rollins saving Reigns and the two former Shield members staring at one another before the screen went black. It was the first time an entire crowd seemed to be behind anything involving Roman Reigns. Naturally, I assumed Rollins and Reigns would be a significant part of this show, and that they would really play up the idea of these two teaming together at Survivor Series. Instead, Rollins exchanged verbal jabs with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, while Reigns just stood in the ring without saying anything. The next miss is New Day and Team Raw, the tag team segment. This was one of the worst segments of the year. It didn't start off poorly. New Day doing the Braveheart routine was comical, and the Scottish crowd was more than happy to play along. Unfortunately, the segment dragged on and on and on, and the poorly scripted dialogue between all the teams was just painful. The next miss is the Raw Women's segment. Those Scottish fans were so disrespectful. Just stop. Please stop with the poor, poor wrestlers routine. There are disrespectful crowds that hijack solid shows in order to make themselves the center of attention. And then there's a crowd like this. They waited 23 years for Raw to come to Scotland, and they were given 3 matches in 2 hours. One of those matches was the regular miss that is the Shining Stars against Golden Truth. Maybe the fans would have reacted the same way for Bayley, even if this had been a hot show, but we'll never know because WWE didn't entertain the fans, so the fans opted to entertain themselves. WWE should actually be thankful that the fans kept things interesting, because their poor build to the big reveal of Sasha Banks as the 15th member of Raw was flat. And the final miss is Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson against New Day. We saw Enzo Amore wrestle in Buzz Lightyear wings, and then we watched Luke Gallows have a pumpkin placed over his head last week. This week, we saw New Day wrestle in Braveheart attire. The life of a creative team member isn't easy. I'm sure it's much easier to get a favorable reaction out of Vince McMahon when he's presented with bad comedy that appeals to his bad sense of humor than it is to get one out of him for an actual pro wrestling concept, because he's kind of been there and done it all. Even so, this bad comedy is detrimental to the product. Meanwhile, Gallows and Anderson beating New Day in a non-title match means nothing. We've been there, we've done that, and we've seen the one step forward, two steps back booking for Gallows and Anderson too many times to care. All right, let's get into some WWE Raw bonus thoughts. I'm happy to know that I wasn't the only person just left feeling completely numb by the time the third hour of this show started. Will Pruitt called it one of the worst shows he's ever watched in his Pause review today, which you can read at ProWrestling.net. I completely agree. This was a lousy 3 hours of WWE television. We talked some weeks about if this had been a two-hour show and you just took out all the bad stuff and you kept all the good stuff, it would have been a really good two-hour show. Not this one. They could not have filled 2 hours last night, let alone three. and they have a real problem on their hands. Often you feel really, truly satisfied coming out of Raw. Now compare that to how many times you just kind of feel fatigued and you're ready for the show to end. I know some of you can't get enough, but and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we could and probably do talk about this on a nearly weekly basis, but I just don't see their ratings and viewership numbers improving over the long haul because this is simply a bad show more often than not. The real positive of the show was the Goldberg and Lesnar video packages. WWE just did a terrific job with those. I want to see this approach used more frequently and not just for Brock matches. I think it's important to have Brock stand out and all, but Brock shines in this setting anyway. And he will stand out because he's so damn good in this setting and because he's Brock Lesnar. But I want more sit-down interviews for the other top feuds on pay-per-views. I just kind of let the wrestlers speak in their own words. Don't have them recite these terrible lines that no one would actually say. This isn't a live thing, so even if things don't go well, they can be edited. The production team can, and if somebody has a line they don't like, they edit it right out. I don't want this for every match on the card, but I do think you can do this more frequently than they do because it does help establish those top feuds and creates a real big match feel. Also, with the go-home show, And the debate left to go, I still don't know why I should care about this whole Raw and SmackDown theme. It's not a big deal to me that the three Shield members are going to be in the same match. It hasn't been that long since we've seen them in the same match. And it's really kind of the same issue across the board. They still haven't made me care about Braun Strowman enough to make me feel like it's a big deal that he's working with other wrestlers, even when Stephanie McMahon tried to sell me on the idea that Bray Wyatt never let Braun shine when he was aligned with the Wyatt family. And maybe, given the news of who the Survivor Series replacement is for Team SmackDown, maybe they finally come to their senses on this and realize that people just are not getting into the idea of Raw versus SmackDown. The wrestlers are feuding with each other. They don't seem to. You'll hear somebody kind of mention Team Raw Pride or Team SmackDown Pride or something. It's just not using those exact words, thank God, but something along those lines. But it just doesn't ring true. I mean, everyone in the whole main event scenario on the Team Raw side, the five-way, I should say, the men's match, they're feuding with one another. They don't care about winning this for Raw. There's none of that, and the fans don't care about it. As I've been saying for the longest time, the only people who care about Raw versus SmackDown, in the sense that they're scripted to, are the authority figures, and then the broadcast teams. That's it. There's beyond that, there's nothing. I mean, it's just not a good situation, in my opinion. And so, I mean, it doesn't mean there can't be some interesting moments at Survivor Series, and this concept may work better next year when it's been a while since we've seen some of the Raw and SmackDown wrestlers in the same ring together. Maybe somebody starts to break out, and you start wondering what it would be like, and you get that taste of it, or at least a tease of that possibility. But this year, there hasn't been enough time that's passed since the draft. There's not enough fresh feuds. And I'm just not looking forward to the idea of Raw versus SmackDown. There's nothing at stake. But I am very curious to see how that Toronto crowd responds to it. I don't know how you would respond to it. Do you just cheer for your favorites, regardless of what team they are on? Do you pick a side? I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know what WWE actually expects their audience to do. So remember that if the Toronto crowd ends up hijacking this show, they haven't given them a real rooting interest. There's no reason to cheer for Raw over SmackDown or SmackDown over Raw. So before we do the it's so disrespectful routine again, just remember all of this. There's no rooting incentive for those fans going into this show. It just kind of goes, I mean, at least with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, they're trying to make Lesnar the heel. I don't know that it's working. I don't know if it's going to work with the Canadian crowd. It's going to be interesting to find out. But Raw versus SmackDown, I think it's just kind of cheer for your favorite wrestlers and bounce back and forth, and it's going to make for a very odd dynamic, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if the crowd just kind of goes into business for themselves at times. And if they do, WWE, once again, only has themselves to blame. Hey, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. That really is helpful in helping spread the word about this site and this podcast. And it's always appreciated when you take a moment, when I put the link out there on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net, when you just do a simple retweet, you are helping spread the word again about this podcast and ProWrestling.net. And a big thanks to everyone who has already taken the time to do one or more of those things. That is going to do it for today, though. I will be back on Wednesday. Friday. The plan is with the WWE SmackDown Live audio review. So until then, take care.